Psalm 127 in your Bibles, please. Psalm 127. We're going to stray away from our Sunday night series. Our series is honoring God in a godless society. And we're just getting into the problems that the church of Corinth had. The very next message is going to be on the beginning of their problems, the division that they had, the church cliques, which really is kind of somewhat the foundation of many of the other problems that they had. Not all, but many of the others. And so we are going to be getting into that, and that's what's going to be next in our series on when we get back into it on Sunday evenings, honoring God and godless society. Tonight, we're straying from that, and we're in Psalm 127. If you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 127, and we'll begin in verse 1. The Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." We're talking tonight about a family that honors God. A family that honors God. Lord's laid this on my heart for this evening, and so we'll get in it. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're thankful for this day and thankful for the opportunity to be in your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we consider what these words are saying and these thoughts, how we can apply them to our family. As Christians, Lord, I pray that you help us to be changed people. And Lord, you meet needs tonight. Maybe there's other needs that I'm not even thinking about. Lord, we need you to work. And those, thank you for the blessing of the songs we sang tonight. Thank you for the promise of heaven, and it will be worth it all when we see Christ. Thank you for the testimonies of praise that we heard tonight, those who've been witnessed to, those who've been witnessing. And then, Lord, just in other areas that we can praise your name for. Lord, thank you for a godly influence, as we heard about tonight as well. And just grateful, God, for how you've worked in our lives. Thank you for this time we have together as a church family. I pray you'd help me to be clear, and Lord, to be allowed to speak with your guidance tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. It doesn't take long for you to look around and find that children are greatly neglected in our society today. And I mean, you see that in many areas of the world. And I read that 24 million children in America, one out of every three, live in a home without a father. 40% of all babies born in the United States and were born to unmarried mothers. As many children, that's 40% of all babies born in the U.S., unmarried mothers. As many children are being cared for by grandparents as also by single dads. And I know you can find different statistics in different places, but that's one of them. An article titled, "There is no longer any such thing as a typical family," was found in Time magazine. This was some time ago now. And it went so far as to suggest pretty much everyone agrees that the era of the nuclear family with a dad who went to work and the mom took care of the family has declined to the point of no return. And it's true, even amongst Christian families. Parents often fail to invest in training their children in to apply God's word in their lives, to live on God's word, on the foundation of God's word. And as a result, even today's churches are seeing many young adults, and again, statistics are found everywhere, but as high as 70%, and I didn't find anything that said less than 57%, but as high as 70% leave the faith of their parents And too often a Christian heritage, that which we pass down to the next generation, is not passed down from one generation to the next. And some might ask, is there nothing that can be done? And even some of these statistics or some of these statements that I made are not a shock to you. Maybe some of them are a little bit, but you're not surprised by, I don't think, by much of what has been said. Maybe you've experienced some of these things as well. And some might say, well, that's just how it is. There's nothing that can be done. Some might ask, is our home destined to these things, destined to disintegrate? Is there hope for my children? Are my children destined to flounder? And I emphatically say no. No, that's not how it needs to be. And those of us who are parents have been entrusted by God to care for our children. What does the Bible say in Ephesians 6:4? To bring them up in the what? Nurture and admonition of the Lord. And God has given us the resources. God has given us what we need to have a family that honors God. And whether, I'm going to be talking much about children, but just apply this to your home life. Apply these truths if you're whether you're a parent or not, if you're a parent or out of the house and you're an empty nester, if you're single, if you aren't even old enough to have kids yet, you know, and things like that. Just apply these truths, spiritual truths, to your life tonight. And it's just going to help us in making our homes Christian homes. And I believe and I understand and I know that many of these things that we're going to talk about are reminders to many of us. And so may we be a little more confirmed, possibly a little more steady on these things in our lives. Specifically, God has given us His Word to guide us. Amen? He's given us the Bible to guide us. What guides your life? Don't answer it loud. What guides your life? What is it that is giving you direction? And He's also given us grace to enable us, because without His grace, we can't do a thing, can we? But He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us. And He's given us a Bible. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us grace. That doesn't mean the Christian life is easy. That doesn't mean parenting in the right way is easy. That doesn't mean being a godly Christian is easy. It doesn't mean that it's going to be on autopilot. It isn't. It's not going to work that way. It requires a tremendous amount of work. In a family, not just providing for a child's physical needs, which that requires a tremendous amount of work, but you know, things like making sure that they're responsible, getting up on time, cleaning up after themselves, brushing their teeth, you know, things like that. But the kind of work that is heart-level engagement, that's a whole different ballgame, all right? Christ-like parenting requires love. Christ-like parenting requires vigilance. It requires time. It requires influence and care and involvement. It requires personal growth in your own life and your own walk with God as you direct the hearts of those that God has given you. And so, yeah, it takes work. It takes work. But by the grace of God, by the help of God, through obedience to His Word, with the help of the Holy Spirit, it is possible. And listen to me tonight, please. No matter your home situation, no matter how hard it's been, no matter if you might immediately, and I understand, think that, okay, this message doesn't really apply to me, God wants you to have a godly home. Amen? God wants you to have a godly home. So is your home godly tonight? Is your family a family that honors God? Is your home a home that honors God? Understand, God instituted or he ordained three institutions: government, the home, and the church. All three ought to honor God, right? You're in control of two of them. Well, you have a major part in two of them. You have a major part in three of them, let's be honest, but really, you're in control of one. Your family. Does it honor God? So, He wants to help you, and He wants to help us along the way. So we're gonna break it down. I want to talk about the provision of a child. I want to talk about, and it's going to seem very pointed to us families that have children in the home, all right? But parents with children out of the home, you still have a great opportunity of influence on them, even though they may not be in your home anymore. And if you don't have children at all, or you're in a situation where you don't have that influence, you can still apply these godly truths to your life so that your home is still a godly home. And so I want to talk to you about the provision of a child, the protection of a child, and the pointing of a child tonight, all right? And so if you're a parent, you know the absolute conviction of your heart that you would do anything to protect your child, right? Right, parents? Your kids are here listening, so they need to hear, understand that you're there for them, okay? Truly, children are treasures from God. In biblical words, in our text, in Psalm 123, verse 7, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And this is the provision of God. What a privilege and what a responsibility, all wrapped into a single, unique person, a person whom God has trusted you to raise for him. This is a sober responsibility indeed. I think there's some good points that young people can take right now who are going to have children tonight. I think there are some things that may seem like it's 100 years away. It's not that far away, let me tell you. It's not. Children are a gift from God. But something we need to be reminded of is this. These children, these treasures, they don't belong to us. They aren't ours to hoard or to neglect. They belong to God. Children are a heritage of who? Who? The Lord. Not children are an heritage of mom and dad. They belong to God. So what a weighty responsibility I have as a dad that my kids are on loan to me from God. He has given me his reward. The fruit of the womb is his reward. They're his heritage. They're his trust. And God has purpose for their lives. The provision of a child. Verse 3 of our text says that they are an heritage. That means that they are his possession. And as parents, my wife and I are stewards with the responsibility of raising our kids for the Lord. And as parents, we dream for our kids. We want them to be successful. We want them to be happy. We want them to, I think it'd be great if they were wealthy. You know, can I get a witness? Anybody? Okay, come on. You know, a little payback for mom and dad, right? But here's the thing. You dream for your kids, right? Parents, you dream for kids. You understand God dreams for them too? You understand God has purpose for them too? God has desires for them as well. And he has a purpose for their lives even before they are born. And one of the most tender expressions of this is found in Jeremiah chapter 1. Turn there if you would. Jeremiah, save your place in Psalm. Jeremiah chapter 1. When God revealed to Jeremiah his life's calling, this is what I'm saying. No matter what we're talking about tonight, home with children or not a home with children, you can apply these truths to your lives because it tells me that God has purpose for me as well. But Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That shuts abortion down. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, not everybody here is going to be a prophet unto the nations, but the idea is this. God has purpose for your life and God has purpose for your children's life. Even before Jeremiah was in his mother's arms, God had big plans for his life. And this is true of the child in your home as well. God has a plan for your child. Your daughter is a gift from God with a special purpose stamped on her soul. Your son is on loan to you from God to raise for him. Your job is not so much to make sure your kids have worldly success. It is to steward these gifts of God, bringing them up for the Lord and in the ways of the Lord. This doesn't mean that our goal for our children should be that each one be a preacher or each one be a missionary, because that is not God's goal for every child. I'm never going to be one that ever says that. It does mean that our goal is that each child in our home does what? Follows God's purpose for their lives. That's the goal. Success is finding God's will and doing it. That's success. We raise them to honor God. We raise them to serve God in whatever capacity that they sense His calling is. Raising our children for the Lord is a sobering responsibility. But it's more than that. It is both a responsibility and it's a privilege, all wrapped up together. Our children are not only God's possessions, but also His gifts to us. What a blessing. I know some of you have teenagers or have had teenagers, and so you're like, yeah, I used to say it was a blessing, but not so much anymore, right? It's a joke. Come on. Laugh a little bit. So they are a possession of the Lord, but they are also a gift from the Lord. The Bible tells us the fruit of the womb is His reward. Sadly, our society teaches that children are not that way. In fact, many insist that a child inside his mother's womb does not even qualify as a human being. The fruit of the womb is His reward, right? Yeah, the fruit of the womb. But our society is teaching, you know, up to a certain time, up to a certain date. Now even many are saying after birth. It's okay. How sad that people, as precious to God as unborn children, are viewed with such disrespect. The Bible is not silent about God's heart. Go to Psalm 139, please. It's not too far from our text. Psalm 139, verse 13. God is not silent about His heart for unborn children. Psalm 139, verse 13. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret in the womb, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The understanding that children are gifts from God goes against the grain of our culture, in which there is a general disdain for children, a sense that they're a burden or a responsibility to be dreaded. And until we recognize that children belong to God and are His gift to us, we will not be able to make the biblical home work. If we don't realize that they belong to God and we don't realize they are a gift to us, that's where it all starts, understanding God's provision to us. And we must understand those things and seek to then protect them in the biblical way, which is number two. So we got the provision and then we got the protection of a child. What does the Christian home, or a home built on God's word, look like? What does that look like? So you got two homes. You got a home that's built on God's word, and you got a home that is not built on God's word. You're going to find vast differences between the two. So what is the home that is built on God's word look like? What are its components? And how are we, as protectors of God's heritage, able to do that? Psalm 127 verse 1 says this: except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. God's not in the work, you're doing everything in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. See, when it comes to building your home, you can't afford to not have God do the work. You can't afford to trust your intuition, your best intentions, your most careful efforts. My most careful efforts are not good enough to build a home that will last. Because here's the thing that's going to happen. Storms are going to come. Right? Trials are going to come. Winds are going to blow. Unexpected temptations, disappointments, marital strain, rebellion, health crises, all kinds of trouble that surprise, that confuse, that overwhelm us come. And sometimes Sometimes the storms or those winds, sometimes they're... can I say that their source, a lot of them, they're driven by a culture. Because we do enough on our own part to cause problems. We have the stresses of life in general. Sometimes there's, you know, the pressure of society. What I mean is, you know, the pressure of those around us, especially with the kids, maybe at school or something like that. Then you've got Satan himself behind it all. But regardless of the source, regardless of the source of the storms, every single family, every single home, every single person, every single Christian faces these challenges, don't we? And you faced them. And some you were successful through, and some you failed. You know, some God did great things through. And some you tried to handle on your own, maybe, and didn't allow God to do great things. But there's got to be a foundation that is storm-proof. And Jesus himself is this foundation. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, please. Verse 24, the Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, on the word of God. Because that's what we get from verse 24. Verse 24 is talking about the sayings of mine. He's saying my words or the word of God, all right? So when you build your house on the word of God, you've got a strong foundation. And when the storms come, it's not going to fall. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, you don't listen to the word of God, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It's not just a cute children's song. Wise man built his house upon the rock, right? No, there's some truth that kids are actually learning with that. And we ought to apply to our lives. How do we have that foundation? Where does that come from? It begins, first of all, with marriage. To even protect God's heritage, the fruit of the womb is his reward. To have protection there, it begins in the marriage. The protection of marriage. God has laid out biblical blueprints for what my Christian home should look like, for what my marriage should look like. He designed that a man and a woman would glorify God, would raise their children to glorify God. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. Go to Genesis 2, look at verse 22, please. I know we're using our Bibles tonight. I think that's okay. Look at verse 22. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. See, it's biblical right there, babe. I'm saying it's a woman. It's Bible. Can anybody help me out tonight? No? Okay. When I use that word, she understands it's a term of endearment. Okay. She knows I'm not. I'd like to tease, though. And so when I say it, she responds with, I say, hey, woman, she says, yes, man. You know, she rubs that in there a little bit because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. As we seek to have a godly home, we cannot honor God if we are neglecting, if you are neglecting your relationship with your spouse. You cannot honor God if you're neglecting that. That's huge. One of the best ways, fathers, to nurture your children is to love your wife. mothers, one of the best ways to teach your children is to honor your husband. Without God building our homes, without that foundation on God's word, Matthew chapter 7, see, you might do all right for a little while, but when the storms come, you'll find that it's all been in vain because you've been doing it on your own. On the other hand, when you build your home on the foundation of God's word, you'll still encounter storms. See, this doesn't mean storms aren't going to come. You're going to face storms whether your home is built on the foundation of God's word or not. You're going to face storms, but when those storms come and your home is built on the foundation of God's word, you'll still encounter them, but you'll have something that's solid to stand on. And the word of God's got to be your foundation in your marriages and for your parenting. So to protect your children, it begins with the marriage. And then let's talk about the children for a second. Even as a physical house guards us from the elements of the weather. We had a storm the other day, and I was here at the office. I was here late, and I didn't know. I had these AirPods in my ears that has the brown noise or the white noise. I don't know why it's that droning sound. It helps me to focus when I'm studying. It's going in my ears. So I had no idea it was storming outside. And so when I was getting ready to go and I walked downstairs and I still had it in my ears. And then I realized, wait, why are they still in my ears? So I took them out and all of a sudden thunder outside. I'm like, wow. And the rain was coming down. So I walked outside. This was just a few nights ago. And as soon as I stepped outside, hail started coming down. I'm like, oh man. So I ran to the house but I got in the house and you know what I noticed? It's just a profound thing. It's just amazing that once I got inside the house, I was protected from the elements outside the house. And just as your house guards you from the physical elements and the weather, listen, your home ought to be a place of shelter, spiritually speaking. Your home ought to be a place that is to guard hearts and minds, providing physical, emotional, and spiritual protection in the home. And what are the components of a home that has a solid foundation? Well, we just talked about the Word of God. That's where it begins. Is this a foundation of your home? Do your kids know this matters in your home? Have any of you ever worked on a fixer-upper house? Anybody? Raise your hand if you worked on a fixer-upper house. Some have different degrees of challenges to them. And sometimes you have to even go into somewhat of a major construction project. How many of you, the fixer-upper, the process of fixing up the home took exactly the amount of time that you thought it was going to take? Okay? How many of you, it cost exactly the amount of money that you thought it was going to cost you? Anybody like that? I mean, you just had this planned out perfectly. How many found out it took a lot longer than what you intended? How many found out it cost a lot more than what you intended? All right? It took some work. And something I was thinking about the other day, as I was driving down there, Metropolitan, back over the hill behind those the USPD houses that are on the hillside where those loops are. I don't know if you've seen those by the prison. They're building another prison back there. And I mean, what a construction project that is. If you ever get on a vantage point where you can see, it is crazy how much dirt moving equipment that they have, excavators and those big, huge, I call them dirt movers. I'm not sure what they're called, but I mean, they're gigantic. Those things are, if you're standing next to them, those tires are way taller than me, but from a vantage point where you can see that whole field, they look like little, just, I mean, it's tiny in the amount of area that they're working in and all the dirt that they moved. But I was watching, they're at the point where they're laying foundations. And I was thinking about foundations and just like a concrete slab. It's funny because I was driving bus through there or through that area on that loop. I saw a house where you can see the slab that the house is on continues out. And it was just one of those houses that they had taken down part of the side of the house and they're going to rebuild. And you can see cracks right through the house. I mean, right through the foundation or the slab, cracks right through. And my thought was they didn't pour the footers right. That was my immediate thought. They didn't pour the footers right. Footers go around the perimeter of the house, and they're deep. They're a certain depth, and there's rebar in there, and then the slab sits on top of that. And you can have a concrete slab. You can frame it perfectly. You can have it so thick. You can have it nice and smooth and let it dry properly. But without the footers underneath it, that thing's just going to start falling apart. It's got to have a proper foundation so the house doesn't crumble. Because when that starts happening and the perimeter of that slab starts to sag, then you've got your walls sagging. And then you've got cracks in your drywall. And then the trusses and the joists and all those things start to get out of whack. And really everything else, the house can be pretty. It can be beautiful. It can be painted right. It can have all the trim and all these different things. But without a proper foundation, it's going to fall apart. It's not going to last. And the all-important foundation for Christian homes is the Word of God. And in too many homes, the Bible's a book that sits on the coffee table or on the shelf and comes to church on Sundays, or better yet, it stays in our car and never comes out of the car except for on Sunday. And it's not part of the daily foundation for our lives. Scripture tells us the home is where the biblical foundation is supposed to be laid. Go to Deuteronomy. We're not going to get through all this tonight. There's no way. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. The Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." This is our responsibility, parents, to teach our children the Word of God. Shame on us. Shame on me if I neglect to sit down with my kids and teach them the Word of God. "And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Colossians 3:16. Let me just read it to you. Write it down. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Here's the most practical way, my wife and I, here's the most practical way I can obey the instruction that is taught to me to teach God's word diligently to my children. The most practical way that I can obey this instruction is if my wife and I will sit down with our children and read the Bible with my family daily. Right? That is the most practical way I can do that. Are we perfect at that? No. Have we neglected in that area? Yes. Just being transparent with you tonight. Do we love it when we have that habit and that routine in our lives? Amen? We do. It's crucial. We're to protect. That's the best way to protect. There are other ways that we don't have time to talk about all tonight, because there's another point I'm trying to get to. There's also a foundation of loving acceptance. There is. One of the most vital needs of a child is to know that they are loved. Your children have got to know they're loved. By the way, husbands, your wives need to know she's loved. Wives, your husband needs to know he's loved. Not for what they do, but for who they are. Paul expressed that kind of love in 1 Thessalonians 2:7. He said, "But we were gentle among you, even as nurse cherisheth her children." Is there that gentleness that permeates your home? Is there that relationship with your son or daughter? Are there affirmations of love? Many parents have told me, and I understand, because I've experienced it myself, that it's difficult, or there's a struggle to communicate love to their children because their father or mother never showed love to them. My mom showed me an immense amount of love growing up, but I also pretty much grew up without my dad. So I didn't see that aspect of it. And even if you did not receive loving affirmation from your parents, though, you must give it to your children. Thankfully, as Christians, you have a Heavenly Father who consistently affirms His love to you, doesn't He? Doesn't He? Yeah. His love to you is found in his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, in the provision of his word, in his grace that he shows us each and every single day. And as we receive God's love, we are then capable of passing it on. There's much we could say about that. You've heard the term rules without relationship breeds rebellion. And while it's necessary and it is important to establish boundaries for the safety of our children, that's part of protection. It's important to establish boundaries. Strong rules must combine with strong affirmations of love. So do you have both in your home, in your family, in your home? And children, understand this, that when there are rules in the home, you understand that it's for your protection, and it's because of the love that is directed towards you. Hope you get that, young people, that your mom and dad love you, so they've got to protect you. Amen, kids? All right. To love a child is spelled T-I-M-E. Especially dads, we struggle with this part of it. The average parent spends less than 36 minutes per day with their children. That's including time spent in front of the television. My wife reminds me oftentimes, you know, sitting here staring at the TV, not talking to each other, is not family time. She's right. All parents face demands on their time. We all are busy. But we've got to. Do you agree with this, parents? We've got to spend time with our children. Amen? We've got to. God commands us to nurture our children positively. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We've got to make that a priority because our children are a gift from God. And we've got to make time for them. There's so many other things we can go to there, but I want to then talk about the pointing of a child. We're going to close. The pointing of a child. As Psalm 127, the chapter that tells us that God provides children and we're to protect our children, but then tells us that we're to point our children. It shifts to an analogy in the text to that of an archer, warrior, who carefully crafts his arrows and then releases them into enemy lines. Do me a favor, Brother David, if you're willing, if you have your Bible open to Psalm 127, verse 4, would you read out loud? I know we don't normally do this Sunday night. Could you stand and read verses 4 through 5 for me, please? So, archers in Bible days handcrafted their arrows with precision. Those of you who are hunters would probably have a hard time hunting if it was up to you to have to handcraft your arrows. Wouldn't it be a little bit different of a ball game if you had to do that? They handcrafted their arrows. And so, I'm going to pull one out here and just so we can take a look at it. And I brought my cheap ones here. Okay, so whatever. But anyways, they handcrafted their arrows. And it was done with care. It was done with precision. If they had a crooked shaft or if they had a dull tip, and I've made that mistake where I had a dull tip and it didn't turn out so pretty in the situation. But if they had a dull tip, it could make a life or death difference in the success of that arrow once released. Now, we're talking about war in Bible times. We're not talking about hunting, okay? And so the importance was even greater. The weight, the balance, the straightness of the shaft of the arrow would determine how accurate and effective it would be in battle. And as parents, we are to give attention to the upbringing of our children. We're to shape their hearts and their lives and their consciences carefully. We're to do so biblically. Go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1, please. They require shaping. Our children's hearts do. Our children's lives require shaping. And Proverbs 4 verse 1 says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father." And now, see, kids, you thought you were getting out of this message tonight, didn't you? But here we go. "Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." Unfortunately, the instruction Solomon gave his children was not consistent with the example that he led. Oh, he gave great instruction. He gave wise instruction. He gave Bible instruction. It just wasn't consistent with his lifestyle. And his children saw that. His children saw the hypocrisy that Solomon had. So are you intentionally and are you biblically shaping your children? Are you helping them? And investing time in them and nurturing and admonition in their lives? Are you providing godly authority with boundaries? Arrows, of course, not only require shaping, but they also require pointing. They require direction. See, when I'm not going to do it because that would be really foolish in here and dangerous. But I'm not going to pull the string back, but when the archer draws back the arrow, it draws back the string, he's directing the arrow towards a target. I can see this is not balanced properly right now. He's directing the arrow towards a target. Unfortunately, many children today, would you agree? Many children today are directionless, right? Many families today are not pointing their children in the right direction. You see it in their expressions. You see it in their mannerisms. You see it in their demeanors. They need a godly example. They needed a godly parent, but in some situations, they don't have that opportunity. So they need someone to come along and love them and care for them, who has a vision for their success, and biblically speaking, to give them direction, to point their hearts first to Jesus. Point their hearts first to the things of God, and then to a life that is lived for Him. And when we give direction, when we point our children in that direction, towards Jesus and towards the things of God, then they have a target, and we're training them. Literally, we're training the next generation, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our job is not to change who God made our children to be. Does this feel like it's pointing at you, Brother David? This is not going to work very well. I didn't think this through, did I? Okay. Our job is not to change who God made them to be. Our job is, don't worry, it's not a crossbow. It's not going to like snap and you know, it's on a switch here, okay? But unfortunately, many people are doing so. But our job is to shape and direct their purpose towards God and what God has for them. So the question is this. Are you shaping, are you pointing them towards godly things? There are many things in society that might be okay in and of themselves. I like sports. I always have. They have their place. But I struggled with this growing up, and I want to make sure my kids don't struggle with this thought, that this does not... Sports are not on the same level as the things of God. They're not on the same level of importance as the things of God. And I'm not to neglect the things of God so I can have a sport. What is it, 0.001% of all high school athletes make it to college, and half that number makes it to professional sports? And if they make it to professional sports, they're going to skip church all the time anyways. But I'm to point them to things that God cares about. We're to provide protection that nurtures and develops them. So when the time comes and listen, they leave our homes, and that's what we're doing. God has invested them into our homes so that they can leave our homes, right? That's the goal. The goal is to get them out of your house, parents, all right? and kids, get out of the house when it comes time, all right? Beat it. But the point is this, and I jest there a little bit, but the point is this, they need to have a solid foundation, right, on the Word of God, and they need to have direction. So value the time that you have as a parent. Steward it wisely. Pour yourself into the young life God has entrusted to your care. Provide protection, provide direction, provide pointing. Before you know it, you're going to be releasing them for big targets and success, godly success.